Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Smokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Smokers and Beer Radio Show. Smokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Smokers and Beer is the official pro armchair quarterback league, and I am the commissioner. Smokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m., to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time most Mondays through Thursdays. Stokers and Beers broadcast live from Chula Vista, California. WBESTWBEST, Chula Vista, California. It is 53 degrees and cloudy in San Diego, California. 8:04 a.m. is the time on deck, Pacific Standard Time. Our topic for today is NFL Week 17, Thursday Night Football Predictions. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys versus the Tennessee Titans tonight in Thursday Night Football action only on Amazon Prime. We'll be talking a little bit about the New Orleans Saints against the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's a lot of playoff implications. Tonight's game with the Dallas Cowboys and Sunday's game, Eagles and the Saints, it's all about playoff implications, definitely for the New Orleans Saints. But at the same time, definitely seeding and positioning for the Philadelphia Eagles. And tonight, Dallas Cowboys against the Tennessee Titans, also playoff seeding implications. So week 17 is here, and then we about to wrap this season up, people. We about to wrap it up this week and next week. That's it. And we're going on into the playoffs. Got a lot of bowl games on today. Had a lot of bowl games last night. San Diego hosted the Holiday Bowl last night. I'm trying to figure out how did I miss the Holiday Bowl and it was here in San Diego. I didn't even watch it. I was watching the other game. You know, the other games that was on ESPN. I forgot which game I was watching, but it was a good game last night. I believe I had it on for a minute. Texas A&M. I was watching Texas A&M, and I forgot who they were playing. But anyway, we'll get off into that. We'll get the scores and results on that. There's been so many bowl games, I get confused. It's just bowl season. Bowl games all over the place. Anyway, we'll be going over a lot of scores for NHL, NCAA men and women basketball. We'll be going over all that kind of stuff. So, we're gonna get up into it. We're gonna get right up into it. So, with that being said, again, this is the Stogies and Bit Radio Show. I am your host Romero Ferrant, aka the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. You know, we got a lot of playoff seed. You know, everything right now in the NFC and the AFC, everything right now is kind of on the line for a lot of teams. Playoff positioning, who's getting that bye week, who's going to be hosting the whole playoffs at home, and that's for your the number one seed, whoever the number one seed, though I think in the NFC that I believe is the San Francisco 49ers. I think the playoffs, the road through the Super Bowl run through them in the NFC. Everybody got to come see them, if I'm correct. That's the way I'm looking at it now. I don't think it's the Eagles, but I have to look at it again. I think it's going to be the 49ers in the one seed, and then I think Eagles the two seed, and then the Cowboys in the three seed, if I'm correct. But, you know, if you want to call in and correct me or debate me, call in the 515-602-9687 and kind of set me straight if I'm giving out wrong information. But, I'll find out for sure as I watch the monitor and see what's going on. Across the monitor, they were saying a second ago on the monitor that, you know, were they asking if Russell Wilson could have prevented Nathaniel Hackett from if Russell Wilson could have prevented Nathaniel Hackett from getting fired? And well, I'm like this right here. No. Russell Wilson could not have saved Nathaniel Hackett's job. First of all, I don't think Nathaniel Hackett should have even been there. Nathaniel Hackett should have been there in the first place. So I don't think he could have saved his job. If you'd like to call in and debate me on that, call in to 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. If you think that Nathaniel Hackett's job could have been saved by Russell Wilson playing better. Russell Wilson's play is not what got Nathaniel Hackett fired. Nathaniel Hackett, first of all, wasn't a good play caller, so he gave up those duties to an offensive coordinator so he could just focus on running the team. Bottom line is, if you give up a duty and then you're still losing, you can't coach on that level. I'm not saying that the man can't coach. He probably is not an NFL coach. He may be a better indoor football league coach, a better National Arena League coach. He might be more suited to be coaching at the pro developmental film level, not at the NFL level, where you got 53 men on a roster. You're trying to manage this, manage that, make sure the defense is doing what they're doing, and managing the coordinators, make sure the offense is doing what they're doing, manage the coordinators as well. You know, you gotta answer to sit down and have your cup of coffee every day with the boss. The general manager wants to know, hey, what's going on with everything? Because, you know, if the general manager don't stay on the coach, the general manager can get fired, and they're probably going to fire the general manager. They already got rid of Hack, fired the general manager come Black Monday. And Black Monday is coming, people. I can't wait. I love Black Monday. I love Black Monday. I love to see when coaches get fired. Because you know, a lot of guys, a lot of these coaches, you know, they're getting paid all this money, but they can't deliver. They can't deliver a Super Bowl. They can't deliver a playoff run. One and done does not get it done. One and done does not cut it in the not for long league. NFL stands for not for long. It's not for long for anybody, including the coach, including the general manager. Owner, the board of directors, they'll look at the whole situation and say, we got to cut bait with the coach. He's not a winner. We got to cut bait with certain players. They're not winners. We got to cut bait with certain coordinators. They're not winners. Okay? This is about money. So what I'm saying is Nathaniel Hackett at that level, is probably not suited to be trying to coach a football team. But we'll get back to that. Let's segue over into the Cowboys. Is going to be -12.5 at the Titans. Tonight, 8:15 Eastern. Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens' agent is in contact with the Cowboys about a potential return. Could you see 49-year-old Owens returning to the Cowboys? Wow. I saw something like that on social media yesterday. Excuse me for my call, people. Excuse me. Got a little sinus stuff going on this cold season out here. But anyway, Terrell Owens possibly going back to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if that's supposed to be for the playoffs or if that's supposed to be for next year. Now, I do recall Terrell Owens saying that where he's at right now, he could definitely be a wide receiver in red zone situations. He wants to be a wide receiver in red zone situations because he has the height. He still has good hands. So just kind of like go into the end zone, make a move, still fast enough to make a move and catch the ball. Now, he proved this. Now, I know that he proved this because Terrell Owens played in one of the leagues I supply players with. And some of my clients actually played with Terrell Owens this past season. Can you believe that? The Late Night Dog actually has clients that played with Terrell Owens in pro football for the Fan Control Football League last season. Yep. My man, Jacob Ayoub, offensive lineman out of D3 Amherst College, was the center for the Zappers, for the Fan Control Football Zappers. And Terrell Owens was the wide receiver. Johnny Manziel was one of the quarterbacks. So my guy, Jacob Ayoub, actually was able to snap the ball to Johnny Manziel. He was actually in the huddle with Terrell Owens. So I'm very very sure that what Terrell Owens is saying, that he can still play football. I'm sure that he can still play because if you follow Fan Control Football League, he was out there hanging with the young guys. And I'm talking about the young bucks, a lot of kids that just came out of college. He's out there with the young bucks. So he was out there doing it. You know, some of the guys was hanging with him, but he was out there. So I think he's proven in that style of football where they have what you call, the man-up challenge. They have the man-up challenge to where basically, you know, to get the extra point, they don't kick field goals. They have what you call, you get the 6 points for a touchdown, and then to get the point, the extra point, you have to do a man-up challenge where the quarterback is pretty much on a timer. He snaps the ball off of a stool or something that looks like a stool or like a platform. He'll snap the ball off a platform, and then the receiver has to go and run a route against the DB, and then the receiver has to catch the ball in the end zone to score it. So that's your 2-point conversion. I don't think they can like catch it outside the end zone and run it in. They have to be in the end zone when they catch the ball. So Terrell Owens is saying that because he ran most of those man up challenges for his team, he can still run that same type of play in the National Football League. That's all they need him for is like a end zone, 2-point conversions, and a score, you know, in the red zone. He wants to be a red zone player at 49 years old. I think they're saying he'll soon be 50, but he wants to be a red zone player. And speaking of age, me and T.O., I didn't know that we were right at the same age. I'm 48, soon to be 49. He's a year older than me. So, yeah, I mean, he's still out there doing it. He's still out there doing it at his age. And like I said, he played in the Fan Controlled Football League last season. That was a national TV platform. What people don't know about Fan Controlled Football League, that's where the stars come to hang out in the offseason. They go to Atlanta to hang out down there at Fan Controlled Football. I mean, they had Marshawn Lynch. Who else did they have? They had Marshawn Lynch, Champ Bailey, Dwight Howard. They had A.B., Cheetah. They had so many guys down there hanging out. All the stars like Migos. And I mean, you know, Renee Montgomery, Austin Eckler. They had the stars. The stars come out there and Fan Controlled Football. So Chad Johnson was down there supporting T.O. So when it all comes down to it, guys, Terrell Owens played a whole football season last year. If the Dallas Cowboys don't pick him up, he's going back to Fan Controlled Football again because that style of football suits what his capabilities are at 49 years old. So they want those Hall of Famer wide receiver Terrell Owens agent is in contact with the Cowboys about a potential return. Again, Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens agent in contact with Cowboys about potential return. Could you see your 49-year-old Owens returning to the Cowboys? And speaking of the Cowboys, they got him tonight, -12.5 at the Titans tonight, 8:15 Eastern. That game will be on Amazon Prime, so I won't see it because if you follow the show, everybody knows that I'm kind of boycotting. I'm a one-man boycott against Amazon Prime for putting that show out there, and you got to subscribe for buying up football airtime. Is what I'm trying to say. I'm a one-man boycott because the NFL allowed Amazon Prime to buy up airtime in the NFL. And what it does is it stops a lot of people that are really not into these apps, into these smart TVs and all this stuff. They can't see the game. They can't even see the game. That's why I like what Fan Controlled Football did. I like what Fan Controlled Football did because what they did was they have their online market on Twitch, Fubo, and all these different apps, Fubo TV. Terrell Owens has his own show for Fan Controlled Football on Fubo TV. I don't understand all this stuff, all these different apps. I don't understand it. You know, you got to go in your smart TV, sign up for the subscription, pay this money just so you can see football. And football should just be played on TV. But at least Fan Controlled Football League at Fan Controlled Sports on Twitter, at least they allow you to see the games on TV, on national TV through NBC platforms. You have to go through your NBC platforms on your regular cable, DirecTV, whatever you got, Cox. I got Cox. So you have to just go through the guide to see what your NBC platforms are. And they had out here where I'm in San Diego on NBCLX. They ran the games on channel 101. They ran the games on channel 101, and they done a bit of advertisement on MeTV. I watch MeTV, and you know, because it has all the old school shows that I like Cannon Mannix, Barnaby Jones. It has all those old school private investigator shows, Columbo, all that stuff. I watch a lot of that stuff on there. I even every now and then I watch the Waltons. You know, I watch the Waltons. I watch Matlock. So I'm definitely into the old school private investigator, private detective, lawyer, Perry Mason, all that type of vibe. Anything got to do with private investigations, police shows, and courts. You know, because I have a background in private investigations and security. So I watch MeTV. But anyway, MeTV done a lot of advertising for the Fan Control Football League at Fan Control Sports on Twitter, if you want to know more about Fan Control Football League. But Terrell Owens, like I said, played in that league. He showed that he can still go into the end zone and jump up there and get the ball. He showed that he can still do that. And that's what that's where he was most effective. I don't want to say that he was totally effective going downfield, because the funny thing about Fan Control Football, the fans call the plays. So if a fan really don't know much about the concept of football, T.O. could not be effective, because if they're running plays, if they're running certain plays and the ball is not coming out to T.O., he might be blocking a lot. He might have been doing a lot of blocking. He might have been doing a lot of other different things, or being a decoy or whatever, and the ball didn't come out to him based on the play that the fans would run. But what he was most effective, so what I'm saying is on the whole of the field, which is like, I guess, 50 yards, just like in the Arena League, 50 yards downfield, 25 yards wide, 50 by 25. I didn't really see T.O. burn a lot of people with his speed all, down the field for 50 yards. I didn't see that. I'm not going to lie. I didn't see that. And at the same time, it was some of those guys. You got to remember, even in Fan Control, these guys just graduating college. It was a lot of young guys, maybe, one or two years or less removed from college. I had three guys out there that had just left college. One left for JUCO, and two left a university. JUCO, D2, D3. Three of my guys, they were rookies. Then I had what? I had three vets. I had three vets as well. They were about 2 years removed from college. 2 years removed from college, and one guy maybe been about, three or four years, about 4 years removed from college. He was a straight vet, but he had played in the he was only 30. He was only 30. So I'll just put it like that. My guy, Andre Sims, he was on the practice squad for Alabama the year they won the national championship against Clemson. And he himself was only 30. T.O. is 49. My guy was only 30 years old. And he was the oldest guy I had at 30. Everybody else was definitely in their 20s. Everybody else is definitely in their 20s. So T.O.'s out there, them young guys was trying to lock him up. Plus, they wanted him on their resume. They wanted to say, shoot, we got Terrell Owens on. I got highlights against me against the Hall of Famer, locking up a Hall of Famer, breaking up a pass against a Hall of Famer, that type of thing, getting off of a block from a Hall of Famer. Those guys, those young boys out there, they wanted T.O.'s name on his resume, on their resume. I'm watching these games, and I'm like, is T.O. going to go downfield and burn somebody for a touchdown? And I was rooting for him. I wanted to see him burn somebody. But I really didn't see T.O. able to get open downfield and get the ball. And some of that probably is not due to him. And he probably was open a lot of times. He probably done his assignment, got open, but if the quarterback don't see him, or if he's double teamed, or whatever the case may be, it just depends, because like I say, it's Fan Control Football, and they can't just, the coaches can't just dial up a play for T.O. Not in Fan Control. Fans have to vote on the play. Whatever play gets the most votes is the play that the coach got to run, and it might just been a play to where T.O. wasn't getting the ball. So that's a factor that could have made him ineffective down the field. That's one factor. The other factor is he's 49 years old playing against a lot of young kids just getting out of college. I'm talking about 21, 22-year-old, 23-year-old kids just coming out of school. I'm being honest. These are young guys in that league that he's playing against. He probably was the oldest guy in that league, being honest. So him being the oldest guy in the league, him being the oldest guy in the league and everything like that, those young boys was coming at him. They wanted T.O.'s name stamped on their resume saying that I broke up a pass that came to him. I locked him up to where he couldn't get open. They was trying to do that to T.O. I'm not going to say they was effective every time, but again, I really didn't see T.O. go downfield like he used to do in the NFL, catch a ball, catch a 40-yard, 50-yard pass, and take it to the house. And being the fact that that's half of a field they were playing on, you know, it was like, think about it like this. He was going to score. If they hit him 40, 50 yards, he's going to be in the end zone in that league. Because it's only 50 yards, the field is only 50 yards long or so. I didn't see him, like, just catch a bomb and, like, boom, touchdown, T.O. I didn't see him doing that. And like I said, they ain't taking nothing from Terrell Owens. All I'm saying is that, and this is because people that across the monitor, there's a possibility T.O. could be getting signed back to the Dallas Cowboys for the playoffs or for next year or whatever. And that'll make him the oldest player in the National Football League. At this time he'll be the oldest player in the National Football League. I don't think he will be the oldest player ever because I think one of the Oakland Raiders quarterbacks, Tom Flores, I think he actually played. He was about 50, 51 years old. Then I think it might have been a couple kickers that played into their 50s. But you can call into the show to correct me or to debate me on that point. But all I'm saying is I didn't see T.O. in fan control football just basically going downfield, catching a 50-yard pass, 40-yard, 50-yard pass, and taking it to the house. I don't really recall that. And I know a lot of people was waiting on that. But them young guys are doing a fairly good job on making it difficult for T.O. to score like that. But to his credit, and which is my point about how he wants to be used in the NFL, based on his own statement, if I'm remembering right, he said, "I do the man up challenge, which is the extra point when the team scores the fan control football. They don't have a field goal unit. They don't kick. They do a man up challenge where the quarterback is not contested. He's on a they put the ball on a mount." Like if the ball was being snapped to him, but there's nobody to snap the ball to the quarterback. The ball is placed on a mount, and it's a timer there. You have X amount of time to get the ball off the mount. Like if somebody was snapping the ball to you, it's like a play clock, and somebody's snapping the ball to you, but it's on a mount that's timed. You got to get that ball off the mount in enough time to get it to the wide receiver who's contested by a DB. So it's a three man scoring thing. Quarterback, wide receiver, DB. So that's the man-up challenge. That's the extra point. T.O. was effective in doing that. He was effective in doing that. He showed that he could, you know, do that basically like in the red zone, go into the end zone, get open, get up there and catch a pass and score. And that's the way he said he wanted to be used in the NFL. Red zone situations, goal line situations, goal line, red zone. And I think the Fan Control Football League allowed him an opportunity to prove that. So big ups to the Fan Control Football League, Fan Control Sports, Commissioner Ray Austin, and the ownership group of that league. They've done a great job giving a lot of free agents opportunities. And it doesn't matter what level you played at. If you want to get back on TV, that's the league to go to because Martavis Bryant, I believe formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was in the Fan Control Football League too, and he had a good season. It was some plays I seen him get downfield and make some plays. But again, he ain't T.O. You know, them young boys put a little bit of extra effort to try to cover T.O. because they definitely wanted T.O.'s name on their resume. Martavis Bryant, you know, they were trying to stick him too because he was an NFL guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I'm correct. And he was able to go downfield a little bit more successful than T.O. for whatever reason. And again, could have been because of the play calling. The fans called the plays. Maybe they called more plays that were more efficient for Martavius Bryant versus T.O. But the point I'm making is that the Fan Control Football League, they play football twice a day on Saturday, in the morning and in the evening. Two games in the morning, two games in the evening. And so it's actually pretty entertaining. It was my first year of actually sitting down watching it and trying to understand it, the rules. The first year, I just couldn't get into it. I didn't understand. I just told my guys, hey, just send me your highlights. And I just kind of, like, watched more of the other leagues, like the IFL and the National Arena League, Indoor Football League, National Arena League. I would watch that on YouTube during the spring. And the Fan Control, I really couldn't get into it because I didn't understand the rules. But when I put three guys in, I put three guys in Fan Control Football, three rookies. I put three rookies in and three vets in. Three rookies, three vets. So I had six guys in Fan Control Football last year. I took one guy off the sidelines coaching at Benedictine University up in Kansas. I took him off the side, off the coaching sideline. I took him off the sideline as a coach and put him in Fan Control Football League. Big John Caprone from Benedictine University up in Kansas. I don't really have any offensive linemen right now to see you that's actively playing in college, but I got one guy that's a grad assistant coach, and I believe he can play at that level. I'm gonna send him your way. So me and John Caprone got in contact with each other. I got his film over to the offensive coordinator for the Fan Control Football League, and they offered him a contract. And he reported, played a whole season. He was around, available for the playoffs. So all my guys, except for one guy, participated in the playoffs in some way, form, or fashion, where they were an active player or just available on standby in case somebody got hurt. Fan Control Football runs a little bit different. They do a draft system every week. So I don't think that when the playoffs started, I don't believe John Caprone had got drafted to a team, but they kept him because he's a big physical presence, 6'6", 6'6", you know, 87, 290 pounds, 6'6". So they definitely kept him there in case somebody went down. But the point I'm making is that if you want to be on TV, Fan Control Football at Fan Control Sports on Twitter is the way to go. They got a workout coming up on January the 8th. I'm trying to get a lot of my guys to go, a lot of my 2022 NFL camp hopefuls, now 2023 street free agents. I was trying to get them to, some of them to go to the workout, but, you know, I fear that they're going to miss their opportunity because a lot of them not hitting me back saying that they're showing up. And I got a direct front office contact to assist them in possibly getting the contract, if the talent shows up along with the resume. But you can lead a horse to water. Can't make him drink, to the original topic. Yeah, T.O. looking like he's going to get another opportunity at the NFL by signing with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if it's going to be for this playoff season, you know, maybe, you know, 10-day contract or playoff contract or whatever, or camp contract for next year. I don't know. We don't know yet. But that's going to be interesting. But he has proven that he can still play professional football because Fan Control Football is professional football at a high level. At a high level. All right, time on deck is 8:34 a.m. It is, I was going to give you the weather, but can't see it on my monitor. But it's 8:34 a.m., and this is the Stokers and Men Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We're going to go off into a quick radio break and music mix, and we'll be right back. Stand by. Radio Show. I'm your host, Romero Friend, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Bear Radio Show. Time on deck here is 8:40 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:40 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 54 degrees and cloudy. Cloudy, cool day here in San Diego, California. But I'm not complaining because it's a winter ice storm going on the East Coast. And let's keep all those folks out there in, like, the Buffalo, New York area and other areas of the Midwest. Keep everybody in our prayers that everybody is safe and has act in the first responders. Get to them in the emergency situations and get them the critical care that they need, because it is a bad storm going on the East Coast. So I'm not complaining about it being a little cool in San Diego, just 54 degrees and cloudy. We had a little bit of a rain storm yesterday. Got another rain storm band coming through in the next couple of days, definitely Saturday and Sunday. So if you're on the West Coast and you're trying to get out there and enjoy the New Year's and festivities, definitely if you're in Southern California, that may be it might be a monkey wrench thrown in your plans, because it's going to be two bad days of rain, two bad rainstorms coming in for this weekend coming up. So I just encourage everybody to stay safe, stay inside, really, to be honest, stay inside. Don't be out there drinking and driving in this rain that's going to be coming in here through Southern California on Saturday and Sunday. I know everybody want to get out and celebrate New Year's and all that stuff, but when Mother Nature says, I'm coming through, and I'm coming through with a big rainstorm, you might want to just sit down, especially if you're going to be talking about drinking and you're drinking and driving in the rain. You know, be the messed around and hurt yourself or hurt somebody. So if not, killed somebody or killed yourself. So you might want to stay inside this time. Okay, for those of you just tuning in, our topic for today is NFL Week 17 Thursday Night Football predictions. We got the Cowboys and the Titans playing tonight. They're saying on the monitor that the Cowboys are for the second straight season the leader in takeaways. Okay, that's great. That's great. They got a hell of a cornerback. For their team, you know, hell of a quarterback. I got to think of his name. It's not off on the top of my head right now, but I think he's number 7. He's very well known. His brother's also in the with the Buffalo Bills. That's how I know who he is. It's just early in the morning. Can't get my thoughts together quite yet. I ain't had my coffee, but I'm about to get it. But I'll mention his name in a second. But I believe it's number 7 for the Cowboys. Leading DB for takeaways. So, he does the job downfield. And, of course, you know, Michael Parsons does the job around the line of scrimmage. So, you know, causing, forcing fumbles and all that kind of stuff. But the Cowboys, for the second straight season, are the leader in takeaways. They got the Tennessee Titans tonight. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be starting Malik. I forgot Malik's last name. But the quarterback out of Liberty. We'll get his name up here in a minute, but the quarterback out the rookie out of Liberty, he's going to be at the helm tonight for the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be at the helm tonight. So, with that being said, I think the Cowboys will probably be able to contain him. Because he's still learning. He's still learning. I don't think he'll be able to beat the Cowboys. I don't think he'll be able to handle the pressure of that defense from Dallas. Because defensively, Dallas is playing pretty well, in my opinion. And I think even the media experts feel the same way. We'll have to, I'll definitely update you on that. But if you want to call into the show to correct me or debate me about anything that I'm saying, please call in to area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And today's topic again is NFL Week 17 Thursday Night Football predictions. I'm predicting the Dallas Cowboys to win tonight in a big way against the Tennessee Titans, because the Dallas Cowboys are playing for playoff seeding. They're playing for playoff positioning. They want to be, I believe, in that third, you know, in that third place spot, second place spot, somewhere up in there, you know, to where they could possibly get a bye week or whatever the case may be. But the problem is they're battling against the Eagles. They're battling against the Eagles. Then they got to battle against the New York Giants for the last game. The Eagles got to deal with my beloved New Orleans Saints on Sunday. And I'm gonna be honest, as far as the real fast, again, my prediction for the game on Amazon Prime, which I won't be watching because it's on Amazon. I don't have Amazon, and I'm not going to get it. Like I said, I'm boycotting the NFL and Amazon Prime for even allowing them to get into the market space to even be airing games, because it's not allowing us to see the games on TV, on regular TV. Everybody don't know how to deal with all these apps and these smart TVs, you know, different weird companies coming into the market space just buying up games, you know, to try to put it on their platform so people can buy their product or use Amazon, get this from Amazon. And by the way, you know, we're going to be hosting the NFL Thursday Night Football now so we can make sure you continuously use our product. You see how that works, people? Trying to drive the eyes and the attention on their product. So how do they do it? They take the best sport in the United States, which is football, the most popular sport in the United States, which is football, and what they do is they'll buy up games. So every Thursday night, all these viewers are tuned in to what Amazon got going on in their corporation. It ain't so much about the game. It's figure out a way to keep the American consumers' eyes on their product. So that's why I don't watch Thursday Night Football. That's why I don't watch I don't be knowing much about what's going on with the game, because I have to wait till late at night to get the highlights. Prediction is that the Dallas Cowboys will come out victorious tonight. They will come out tough on defense. And I think the time for them to be letting people back in the games, I think that's over with. I believe that what they're going to do, I believe what they're going to do is basically keep pushing the gas, keep pushing the pedal on the gas, and shutting these guys out. Because it was, the media experts are saying that about three or four games that the Dallas Cowboys will be up, then they'll start letting these guys kind of come back, sort of how it happened in Jacksonville. I think they were supposed to be up by like 14 points? I think it was like 14 points. They were supposed to be up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but the Jacksonville Jaguars found their way back into that game and won in overtime. But the media experts are saying now Dallas isn't going to be that type of team anymore. They're not going to let up on the gas. They're going to slam the door shut on anybody in the next 2 weeks. Anybody playing the Cowboys, be ready to be shut out. Be ready to be shut out. Unless the Philadelphia Eagles start to lose. If the Philadelphia Eagles lose to the Saints, you know, they can probably, the Cowboys can probably start resting some of their starters. And the last week, if the Philadelphia Eagles, really it's all about this Sunday. If the Eagles lose this Sunday, the Cowboys probably can rest up the starters against the Giants for the last game. Yeah, if I'm correct, they're playing the Giants. The Cowboys and the Giants are playing the last game for them in the NFC East. I don't know who the Philadelphia Eagles got. They probably have the Washington Commanders. But that's going to be a tough game if they got the Washington Commanders, because the Washington Commanders are still alive, especially if they win this weekend. They win this weekend and then come back, and they're going to be trying to kick and scratch and claw to get a win against the Eagles, because that's gonna put them probably in a wild card position. So there's a lot of stuff still going on for a lot of teams that are in the hunt for those last wild card spots and everything, or whatever the case may be. And then other teams that have winning records, division leaders and whatnot, or divisions that got more than one team that can make it to the playoffs. These guys are fighting for seeding. They're fighting for seeding. So it's a lot of stuff going on. They're asking on the monitor, do you rather have Dak or Kirk in the playoffs? Do you rather have Dak, Prescott, or of Kirk Cousins in the playoffs. Dak Prescott, 1-3 playoff record. Kirk Cousins, 1-2 playoff record. Dak Prescott, 1-3 playoff record, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions in 2022. Kirk Cousins, 1-2 playoff record, 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions in 2022. Well, wow. I don't know. That's a hard one. Really, they're kind of like the same type of player, in my opinion. They're kind of like the same type of player. I mean, neither one of them is great, but they're highly efficient. Neither one of these guys are like a Patrick Mahomes or a Brett Favre. Not Brett Favre, but a Patrick Mahomes or a Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they're not a Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, or even a aging Tom Brady. Tom Brady still can pull out a win with a couple seconds left in the game. He can still pull it out. They're not those type of players. They're the type of players, if they're up, as long as they stay up, they can deliver a win. But I believe a lot of that has to do with the defense, too. Kirk Cousins, in my opinion, and Dak Prescott are the same type of player. If the defense can keep them with the ball, and they can keep, and the offense can keep getting first downs. If, like they say, Dak, he dinks and dunk, Dacks and dunk, you know, dinking and dacking, as they say it, you know, meaning throwing the ball, a lot of little underneath passes, throwing the ball to the sticks to get the first down. If he can continue to do that type of thing, continue to get first downs, eat up clock, defense plays well, three and outs, keep the, you know, and the offense can let the defense rest. It's just a combination of things for Dak Prescott to be successful. It's just not so much about Dak. I don't think he's that cerebral guy that just, you know, I can just air it out, put it downfield, and just hit targets all over the place. I don't think he's that type of player, in my opinion. Kirk Cousins neither. I think Kirk Cousins has a better arm downfield, and he can go downfield, to me, better than Dak. Or they run plays for him to do it. I won't say Dak don't have a good arm and can air it out. I'm not saying that. His style of play is more so get the first down. You know, run the ball, good run game, little passing, dinking and dacking underneath, get the first down, eat up clock. That seems to be his field just a little bit more because the way they call the plays for him, and he has a good arm. He does have a good arm. Dak has a good arm, too. But I think that the way that the offensive coordinator runs the plays for Kirk Cousins is more like we're going to air it out a little bit, plus we're going to use our running game, too. So the only differences I see between them is that the offensive coordinators, one uses a running game and, you know, short passes. The other one uses a running game, long passes. So who would I rather have in the playoffs? Based on the numbers I just read out to everybody, they're fairly similar. I mean, Kirk had 7 more touchdowns throughout last year, had 7 more touchdowns. Dak had 20. Kirk Cousins had 27. I mean, okay, he had 7 more touchdowns. That probably just meant that, you know, Dak and Dallas Cowboys really uses their running game a lot. They got 2 good running backs, Pollard and Elliott, so they use their running game a lot. Kirk Cousins, they do have Dalvin Cook at running back, if I'm correct. But they also got some good wide receivers, like who? Justin Jefferson. You know, they got some good wide receivers, too. So, you know, if he can hit Justin Jefferson, that's easily set the 7 touchdowns right there. Or at least Justin Jefferson is probably accounting for at least 4 of those touchdowns. So that's all I'm saying. Who would I rather have in the playoffs? Either one will work. Either one will work as far as the quarterback position goes. Either one will work. The Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday are taking on my beloved New Orleans Saints. So everybody out there in Saints Nation, we're gonna keep our fingers crossed, pray to the football gods, as they say, throw some prayers up to that power that's greater than everybody, and hope that the Saints can get a little bit of favor to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and pray that and the Bucks lose a game this weekend, because we need to win out and we need some help. We're not mathematically out of it yet, if I'm correct. We're not mathematically out of it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, so if you'd like to call into the show and debate me, definitely call in. When you call in, just raise your hand in queue. I'll come to you and just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from, not the city, and don't announce your first and last name. I like to keep everybody discreet on the show. So if you'd like to call in and talk about NFL Week 17 Thursday Night Football predictions, Dallas Cowboys versus the Tennessee Titans, or you want to talk about the big contest on Sunday, the New Orleans Saints against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm trying to push those two topics this morning because eventually Dallas and Philadelphia, they're going to have to settle some business in the playoffs if everything goes the way they both want it to go. They're eventually going to have to settle some business in the postseason because they're 1-1. But the thing about them being 1-1 is that the first game that the Eagles won, they had Cooper Rush at quarterback. Dak Prescott was out with a thumb injury. Then this past Christmas Day, the shoulder of Jalen Hurts kept him out of the contest, and they had to start Gardner Minshew against Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott came out victorious. So it's 1-1, but so it's pretty even right now because the two starting quarterbacks haven't faced each other. But in the playoffs, I believe they're going to have to settle that. That's why the game against the Saints for the Philadelphia Eagles is so critical. It's critical for the Eagles for the simple fact that if Dallas continues to win, it's all about the seeding. Who's going to have the best seeding in the playoffs? If Dallas continues to win. If Philadelphia loses this weekend, to the Saints, which if they start Gardner Minshew, that's probably going to be a reality. And I don't see them putting Jalen Hurts. I don't see them putting Jalen Hurts out there against a hungry New Orleans Saints. And the Saints need this win. The Tennessee Titans against the Dallas Cowboys tonight, I don't think that they're even in the playoff hunt anymore. I think they're mathematically out of it. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, bumped them out. So the point I'm making is tonight, Dallas should easily win this game because, the Tennessee Titans, they can't, they got a backup quarterback, number one. And I don't think they're playing to be a spoiler because Dallas Cowboys have already solidified they're going to the playoffs. The Eagles are going to the playoffs. It's all about seeding for the Cowboys. So they want to win tonight for seeding and to stay up on the Philadelphia Eagles as far as seeding goes. So I feel like they'll come out tonight and they'll jump on the Tennessee Titans real early, real fast. Get up on them about 3 or 4 scores and start resting up Dak Prescott and put Cooper Rush in. I don't think they want to risk any injuries with Dak going into the playoffs. I think once they get this game in control, they're going to sit down Dak Prescott and they're going to give him a clipboard and they're going to tell Cooper Rush, put your helmet on, son. You got to go in and bring us home. And I think that very well might happen. I think that's what I'm going to see tonight on SportsCenter, that Cooper Rush is going to finish out either the whole second half or the fourth quarter. If Dallas is up by at least 2 scores, I see them sitting Dak Prescott down because Dak Prescott, everybody know, is already injury prone. Now the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, they got trouble. You got a hungry New Orleans Saints, that's trying to get into the playoffs. And so I'm going to be honest, if I was the general manager, I'd be telling the coach, sit Jalen Hurts down, rest that shoulder at least 1 more week. Go ahead on and put Gardner Minshew in there. Either he can win the game for us or he can't. And then we'll still have the last game, Jalen Hurts can go in there, ball out the last game, going into the playoffs and try to, beat the Giants if he even needs to do that, if it even matters at that point as far as seeding goes. But I would not risk putting Jalen Hurts out there with that bum shoulder on his throwing arm I would not risk putting him out there against a hungry New Orleans Saints with Cam Jordan coming off the edge, and you know, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger downfield, confusing him and everything like that. I wouldn't put him out there tonight, Sunday. I wouldn't do it. I put Gardner Minshew out there. Gardner Minshew already got warmed up against the Dallas Cowboys last week. He seemed to be capable. He did have three or four turnovers, they said, and I think the last turnover cost him the game when he fumbled the ball, if I'm correct. But the point that I'm making is this, people. Why would you put Jalen Hurts out there against a hungry defense that's fighting for their playoff life? The New Orleans Saints, my beloved Saints, we have to win that game. But the Philadelphia Eagles don't have to put their quarterback out there. They don't have to put Jalen Hurts out there. Just put Gardner Minshew out there. That's what I'm praying that they're going to be smart enough to do. And that's going to give us the opportunity to go ahead on and dominate the Philadelphia Eagles. If they put Jalen Hurts out there, I'm telling you, the Saints defense is bringing the pain. I don't know how long he's going to be to last, because the Saints are going to be coming. We got to win. This is our Super Bowl, people. This is our Super Bowl. So, I don't know what Philly going to do, but hopefully they make the right choices. Football news, the New Orleans Pelicans are my beloved Pelicans. I'm all things Louisiana and all things Saints, all things Pelicans. But Zion Williams had a monster game last night. I'm going to try to see if I can get his numbers up and everything like that. I think the Lakers, if I'm correct, they dropped one again last night to the Heat. I think Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you know, took care of them. But yeah, we're just trying to see what happened. My Clippers are fourth in the West, so that's a good thing. Clippers, my San Diego, formerly San Diego Clippers, but the LA Clippers are fourth in the West. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. I'm gonna try to get some scores out here to you guys in a minute. But back to taking away back to the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. I just can't see the Eagles trying to start injured Jalen Hurts against a hungry Saints defense that needs to get into the playoffs. I think that's a dangerous move. I say you put your capable backup Gardner Minshew in, let Gardner Minshew take those blows, put him in, let him, that's what you're paying him for. You're paying him when your starter's down, when your starter's injured going into the playoffs. Jalen Hurts needs all the rest that he can get. Jalen Hurts, fitting name. He's hurt, and he will be hurting against the New Orleans Saints after that game if they start him. On the monitor, 49ers minus 10 at Raiders Sunday at 4 Eastern. 49ers minus 10 at the Raiders. Carr stepping away from the Raiders after being benched. Unfair to blame Derek Carr for the franchise's dysfunction. Again, Derek Carr stepping away from the Raiders after being benched. Is it unfair to blame Derek Carr for the franchise's dysfunction? I would say so. I think it's just more so coaching, because this coach that they have, he wasn't good the first opportunity that they gave him. I believe he was in Denver, and he wasn't good there. You know, he came out the Belichickian system. But what does that mean? You're not Bill Belichick. You're just not a good coach. Most of the coaches that came out of Bill Belichick coaching tree, they failed. They didn't do well as head coaches. And I think that goes down from Romeo Crennel. Romeo Crennel was one of them. Matt Patricia was one of them. That's two right there. There's a couple more that came out of that Belichickian system. They just wasn't good as a head coach. Coordinators? Yeah. The current head coach for the Raiders, I think it's fair to fire him next season. I don't really think that they need to get another quarterback. I think that they just need to fire the coach. That coach couldn't coach in Denver when he was there. If I'm remembering right, he was in Denver. He couldn't coach there. That's who I think that they need to get rid of and on Black Monday, I believe he needs to go. But that's one thing about the owner of the team, Al Davis' son, Mark Davis. I think Mark Davis and this coach is good friends. They're buddies. And he likes him. He don't want to fire him. Mark Davis will probably leave him right there. Say we're going to get rid of Derek Carr and get another quarterback in the draft. I think that's the move they're going to try to make. Get a quarterback in the draft and get away from Derek Carr. And that's why Derek Carr now is like, well, I might as well go ahead on and step away from the team so I'm not a distraction. And he probably should. It's only 2 weeks left. He needs to start talking to his agent, start talking to some, you know, moving. It's time for him to come out of the Raiders, come out of Las Vegas. It's time for him to leave the Raiders franchise alone and get out there and test his skills somewhere else. He needs to pull a Baker Mayfield. Just go somewhere else, man. You've been with that franchise a long time. It's always been ups and downs. Y'all made the playoffs last year, got put out in the first round by the Cincinnati Bengals, if I'm remembering correct. Bengals went on to win the Super Bowl. It's just time for Derek Carr to find another home. I mean, we'll take him as a backup for the Saints. We'll take him as a backup for the Saints. I don't like him starting for the Saints because I think that he has some limitations. I think he has some limitations for whatever reason. But now everybody's trying to ask the question, is Adams, I believe Devontae Adams, they're like, are you packing your bags now that it seems like Derek Carr's out the door, leaving the building? Because you came here to play with your boy, play with your good friend from college. So people want to know, hey, are you leaving or are you staying? Well, me, myself, being the fact that I know Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay for at least another year, if I was Adams, I would probably do a one-year deal back in Green Bay, be a part of their receiving core. Because that receiving core, those two young receivers finally came alive, and they're gelling with Aaron Rodgers now. Add back to that, Devontae Adams. Add him back to that receiver mix. I think that's going to be a powerful offense. The two rookies, the vet, Aaron Rodgers back there is the vet, the great one, the cerebral one. I think that they'll be a powerful offense next year. So if I was Adams and Derek Carr is leaving the Raiders, I would be like, yeah, let me out of this contract. I'll work out something. I'd be like, I tell the Raiders front office, hey, work out something with Green Bay so I can go back. Work out something so I can go back. Because I don't like this dumpster fire out west. It's a dumpster fire. Now, you know, me myself, because it's so cold in Green Bay, it would be like kind of hard for me to leave Las Vegas, you know, because but at the same time, Las Vegas does get cold too. Like right now, it's cold and windy out there in Vegas. It gets cold and windy. I used to live in the desert. But it's nothing like Green Bay. So, I mean, there would probably be a decision that I would have to make as far as would I accept, you know, moderately cold conditions and windy and just hot as heck in the summer months, or do I want to go back to a ice storm in Green Bay? Those are the things that if I was Adams, I'd have to consider. But as far as winning a Super Bowl and trying to get into the Super Bowl, trying to have that on my resume, it's definitely something to consider to go back and play with Aaron Rodgers versus staying in Vegas, staying with the Raiders, and playing with a rookie quarterback. They're probably going to take a quarterback out of the draft, bring in some vets, that's bring in a Joe Flacco or somebody like him, or Teddy Bridgewater. They'll bring in some vet that's still hanging around the league to back up the rookie. But if you're Devontae Adams, that ain't what you came to Vegas for. You came to Vegas for to make a playoff run and have a quarterback that was going to stay with the team. Now it's looking like Derek Carr, he's unhappy. The team is unhappy with him, with his performance, and Devontae Adams might be in the same situation. Talk about the grass is greener on the other side. I mean, he's in a situation right now. On the monitor, we got some Russell Wilson information. What are they saying? Broncos at the Chiefs minus 12 and a half. Broncos at the Chiefs minus 12 and a half, Sunday 1 Eastern. Russ says, wish I could have played better for Nathaniel Hackett. Can the Broncos' next head coach get Wilson's career back on track? Russell Wilson saying, wish I could have played better for Nathaniel Hackett. Can the Broncos' next head coach get Wilson's career back on track? If they let him be who he is, a runner, a dual-threat quarterback, sure. Call dual-threat quarterback run-pass option plays for Russell Wilson. Stop trying to make him throw the ball downfield. Stay in the pocket, throw the ball downfield. Russell Wilson doesn't need to throw anything but passes to the sticks and underneath like Dak Prescott and be a dual-threat quarterback using his legs. If they run the plays like that and make the defense account for Russell Wilson running, he'll be fine. But when you try to turn him into Aaron Rodgers, oh, yeah, man, just stay in the quarterback. You try to turn him into Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, yeah, stay in the pocket, man. Just put it downfield. It's not going to work, people. That's not Russell Wilson's game. Never has been. He's been a physical running quarterback. And, yes, he is getting a little bit older, but he's still got wheels. He's still got his legs. Just run the right plays for him. Run the right plays for him the way he can be effective. I believe that they bring in, like I said, Eric Bieniemy. Go ahead and get Eric Bieniemy an opportunity to come in and take that job. Come in and take that job. Eric Bieniemy only because Eric Bieniemy was a running back. He's now the offensive coordinator, so he understands the passing situation and the running situation, and Russell Wilson being a running back, but also a quarterback. I think both of them putting their minds together, calling the correct plays for him, I think they'll be just fine. I think they'll be okay. They got a good wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy, which he doesn't have much faith in Russell Wilson right now, but he probably never will because if I had it my way, unfortunately, Jerry Jeudy wouldn't hardly get the ball unless it was like situations where we needed to get a first down. Only limited situations would I make Russell Wilson go downfield. If you watch Hard Knocks in season with the Phoenix, they were looking at it too, like what'd they say? Who was that? Kyler Murray. They were showing Kyler Murray DeAndre Hopkins, I believe. Murray and Hopkins were like having words on the sideline. Well, Hopkins was asking Kyler Murray, like, "Hey man, didn't you see me? Didn't you see me downfield?" Kyler Murray is trying to use his physical ability to run. When he sees, if he don't see you fast enough, and he sees the opening to get a first down, he's gone. He's not going to sit back in the pocket just because you're open and force himself to get you the ball. That's not his game. That's why Hollywood Brown left the Baltimore Ravens. That's why he left. He said, you know, Lamar is a different type of quarterback. He's going to run if he got to run versus standing there and passing the ball. And my numbers are going down. And I understand what Hollywood Brown meant. I'm going somewhere else. And the funny thing about it, he went to the Cardinals, if I'm correct, to go to the same situation that he was already in. That's crazy. And if I'm correct, he is. He's still in Arizona, but he's hurt. Hollywood Brown. But Kyler Murray, I believe, was his coach in college with Oklahoma. I believe Kyler Murray was his quarterback, if I'm correct. So maybe he just said, well, if I'm gonna be dealing with this here, I got a better chance of getting the ball with my homeboy. At least I'll tell him, hey, man, hit me every now and then, man. You know, when I was with Lamar, you know, I couldn't hardly get the ball at all. Maybe they have a better relationship to where he could come to Kyler Murray and tell him, yeah, I'm speaking of Hollywood Brown, hey, man, you know, I'm coming over here because we got a relationship. I know you're the same type of quarterback as Lamar Jackson. Both of y'all like to run. Both of y'all can pass, but y'all like to run too. At least give me the ball a little bit more touches than I did in Baltimore so I can make sure I can, when it come down to my contract renegotiation, I got some numbers to defend. to get more money. So I understand what the wide receivers are saying. If you're just a wide receiver and you're just a decoy, the front office, when it comes down to the redoing your contract and you negotiating for more money, the general manager is looking at it like, well, you really didn't catch a whole lot of touchdowns last season. I think I want to kind of like stay where we're at. You know, you were solid, but, you know, it wasn't like you was like a top receiver. Then the argument for the wide receiver is wide receiver, slot receiver, whatever, tight end, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to, whoever's, you know, getting the ball and negotiating for their contract, you're looking at it like, hey, that ain't my fault. The quarterback runs the ball all the time. We run a run-pass option. We do a run-pass option all the time. Just like I go to my military service academies, Army West Point mainly, and the Naval Academy. Some of those guys that's out there playing receiver, the NFL won't bring them into camp or give them an opportunity as a tight end or a wide receiver, because in most cases, service academies don't throw the ball. Air Force is the only service academy out of the three that throws the ball. Yeah. Who they have this year? Hazeek Daniels, I believe that's the man's name, young man's name, but I think he's graduating, going on to do a service obligation. But Hazeek Daniels, he would put the ball downfield because he could throw the ball. But even if they can throw the ball at Army and Navy, they do a run-pass option or a triple option, pull option. That's what they run. They don't put the ball downfield. So you trying to play wide receiver coming out of high school, at a military service academy, namely Army and Navy, know that you're going to be a blocker. You're not getting the ball. You're going to be really strong and really good at blocking, and every now and then they'll sneak you out and throw the ball downfield. So in the season, you may have four touchdowns, which is not what the NFL is looking for, unfortunately. So the point I'm making is, they're saying, can another coach change Russell Wilson? Because Russell Wilson, I guess, is feeling bad and feeling like he got Nathaniel Hackett fired. He didn't get Nathaniel Hackett fired. Nathaniel Hackett gave up the play calling duties to his offensive coordinator, and the team still sucked. So get rid of the offensive coordinator and get rid of Nathaniel Hackett. How about that for a solution? And get Eric Bieniemy, who went to school in Colorado, and it's the right setup. First of all, ownership for the Denver Nuggets, one of the richest women in the world, financial guru, financial expert, we all know her from CBS Morning News, Melanie Hobson. Melanie Hobson, I believe she's married to the guy that does Star Wars. I forgot his name right off the top of my head. But I believe she's married to the guy that did all the Star Wars series. He's rich. She's rich. But she's an owner, which I didn't know that till the other day. She's an owner for the Denver Broncos. Now, her being an owner, and an owner that's a minority, meaning a African-American woman, black woman, however you want to look at it, however you want to call it, black woman, African-American woman, She's from a minority community. I think a minority hiring would be right up her alley, being the fact she's from a minority community and she can force a minority hiring. Well, I don't want to say force. I'll say she can push the agenda for a minority hiring. So you put Eric Bieniemy, who went to Colorado, put him there as the head man for the NFL team in Colorado, and you already got Deion Sanders. Coach Prime is already in Colorado as the head man in Boulder, if I'm correct, at the University of Colorado. He's there. That's going to be major as far as minority hirings in the state of Colorado. I think it works out just fine. The connection of Colorado, Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, Deion Sanders. Come on, I think that makes sense, people. Eric Bieniemy, Russell Wilson, two small athletes, two athletes of a small stature. That one was a running back, definitely knows how to use his legs, and then one's a running quarterback. The offensive coordinator is working with Patrick Mahomes and doggone Travis Kelce. Come on, man. You take that guy and you put him in Denver. What are we talking about? It's a no-brainer. If Eric Bieniemy doesn't get that job, and it's in the state of Colorado where he went to college and won a national championship, and I ain't forgot that, because he won a national championship against who? Notre Dame. And I'm talking about Notre Dame when they had the Rocket Ismail, when they were dangerous, when Lou Holtz had them dangerous. You couldn't beat Notre Dame back then. They didn't play. You go up against Notre Dame, you're going to get smoked. Colorado beat them in the national championship. Colorado beat them. They say it was a bogus call. I think somebody said that Roger Bishmel got clipped or something on a kickoff return where he almost took it to the house, and that was a scary play. Ooh, it brings chills to my spine thinking about that play, because I believe Roger Bishmel was almost about to break on Colorado. And I was a Colorado fan, because I like Eric the Enemy be Enemy. But anyway, back in the day. But I think that Eric the Enemy deserves to get this job as a minority hiring with a minority owner. Deion Sanders being there at the University of Colorado, Russell Wilson and Deion Sanders understands run game. Russell Wilson and Eric the Enemy understands run game, run pass option type of stuff. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer. But on the monitor, segue into the NBA, the No Bulls Zone. Segue over to the NBA on the monitor saying, LeBron after a loss, I know what I can still bring to any ball club. Are Lakers 14-21 doing enough to build around LeBron? LeBron after the loss. LeBron states, I know what I can still bring to any ball club. Are Lakers 14-21 doing enough to build around LeBron? Well, you know, 14-21, what's that? There's seven games off 500. They just need a little bit of run. Hopefully by the time they make the All-Star break, the Lakers will at least be a 500 team. Let's hope the Lakers are a 500 team around LeBron James without Anthony Davis. So, you know, let's hope they can at least be a 500 team. The problem with the Lakers is just AD can't stay healthy. And there's something going on with his foot right now. I don't want to make a big deal out of it because I really feel like that Anthony Davis is going to be all right. His foot will get – I don't think he got a fractured foot. He could probably have some kind of tendonitis or something, or some type of plantar fasciitis. You never know. You know, your feet can get sore. All that running and jumping, you never know. You might just need to rest. So I think they'll be okay once AD gets back. I don't think it's as bad as they're making it out to be, because their big three, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and AD, they finally started gelling. I don't even think they're looking at trading Russell Westbrook anyway at this point. First of all, they can't get nothing. First of all, nobody's going to pick up that bill to continue to pay Russell. So I think that because they're gelling together, you don't hear all the locker room stuff, Russell Westbrook pissed off because he ain't getting playing time. I think that everything is going to be okay for them. They just need AD to stay healthy. Russell Westbrook is always available. He's letting them use him coming off the bench. And I think Darvin Ham is doing a great job having a big three, but all big three don't start at the same time. They're doing great. I think they're doing great the way they're working it. You know, number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, he always says, oh, man, I told you, the Lakers are a poorly constructed team. The team is constructed poorly. Them guys can't play. Well, I ain't worried about them other guys. As long as you got Russell Westbrook balling, LeBron James balling, and A.B. balling. The problem is they can't stay freaking healthy. They can't LeBron James, either LeBron James is out or freaking Anthony Davis is out. Those two can't stay healthy. That's been the thing. That you can't. The only time they was on the court at the same time multiple games was the year they won the championship in the bubble. And the bottom line is LeBron ain't got nothing to hold his head down about because he actually delivered what he said. He delivered the Lakers a championship in his second season. The first season he was out, groin injury. In the bubble, they won that one. You know, they want to put an asterisk by that one because they didn't play a whole season. But bottom line is he won the NBA championship for the Lakers. Moving aside from that, the next year, then we got Anthony Davis is down. That's last year. This year, you know, again, Anthony Davis has been in and out of the rotation. But when he's played, he's been dominant. 40-something points a game. He's balling. So I think Darvin Ham got the formula right for the team. And I think the supporting players are doing just enough to at least get them into the playoffs. It's AD that can't stay healthy. LeBron James cannot do it by himself at 38 years old, by himself. He needs some kind of help. That's all I'm saying, people. That's all I'm saying. I want to rattle off some scores to you here while I'm bantering about waiting on people to call in to the show. But for all the listeners out there, thank you for listening in to the show. We're at about 557 streams right now. That's pretty good for me. That's almost like saying that, you know, if I was in the music business and I was a artist and I looked on my YouTube page and I got 500 or some spins or 500 or some likes, you know, that's pretty good. That means you're getting spins. So even if it's the same person spending it, it don't matter. So even if I got one person out there listening, they listen to my show 500-something-odd times, I'll take that too. I'll take that too. At least somebody's listening. But to my listeners out there, hopefully it's more than one person. Hopefully it's more than one person. I'm quite sure it is, though. I'm quite sure Blog Talk is smart enough to say that we're not going to rate your show based on one person downloading it every day. I'm quite sure it's different people listening to different episodes. And that's the good thing about Blog Talk Radio. All my episodes are recorded. And they're right there in my archive. So if you yourself want to go on there and want to hear some of the topics, you can always go back and hear what I'm talking about. Especially for you street free agents that are out there, for all you street free agents that are out there, you definitely want to make sure that you go and listen to these episodes because I have a lot of free nuggets of knowledge that I'm putting out there in this global radio space, in this global broadcast. I'm putting a lot of information out there so you can know how to navigate as a street free agent. Street free agent meaning you're you were never on a NFL draft board. In your draft season, like all you guys that's coming out, they just played your last contest this season. You just played your last game this season. I consider you what I call an NFL camp hopeful. Guys from last year, 2022, that was trying to get into camp, you were a 2022 NFL camp hopeful. Now a 2023 street free agent, meaning street free agent, you don't have a job for any league. You're a street free agent because you're not affiliated with the NFL. You're a street free agent. And when you get a job in pro developmental football, which I provide opportunities for you to get on the football field to start attaining film to get to the NFL, you're considered a street free agent as well, but a street free agent with pro film to move you up. I try to use the term street free agent or NFL camp hopefuls and stuff like that because I don't like to use the word, oh, that's a free agent. When you say free football free agent, that means you're affiliating yourself with the NFL, and you guys are not part of that mix. You're not part of that alumni. You're not a part of that network. So I'm never going to refer to all you small school college kids that were never on the draft board, never considered for the NFL. You're a street free agent. You're a street free agent until you make it to the NFL. You make it to the NFL, you get a franchise. Then I consider you, you're a free agent, meaning because you played in the NFL, you got cut, and so you're a free agent available to be hired or picked up on waivers for another team. So it's not to put you down. It's not to to make you feel like you're less than the guys that play in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for my company and for my network, I use a different terminology because we're not affiliated with the NFL. And that's okay. Would I like to be part of the NFL? Sure. Would I like to be part of the NBA? Sure. But just because I'm not part of the NBA or the NFL doesn't mean I can't do my own thing. And that's what I do. I do my own thing. If the NFL come knocking, great. If they never come knocking, I don't care. Whether it be the NFL front office, whether it be the NFL franchise. Same thing with the NBA and Major League Baseball. I'm going to always do my own thing, and my network will be built around my energy. So I'm just saying all this to take the time to talk to these street free agents for a minute in between me trying to find some scores on the monitor. I think I talked enough about before I get into the my street free agent information. Today's topic, for those of you just tuning in, was NFL Week 17 Thursday Night Football Predictions. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love. So if you want to call in and talk about tonight's game on Amazon Prime, which I won't be watching, call in to 515-602-9687. And then we can get off into that topic, which is Cowboys versus the Titans. And my other subtopic would be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, and whether Jalen Hurts is going to play against a hungry Saints defense fighting for playoff positioning or actually their playoff life, or would you start Gardner Minshew so Jalen Hurts don't get hurt playing against this hungry Saints defense on Sunday. Tonight's game for Dallas and Sunday's game with Philadelphia is for playoff implications because of the seeding between the two teams, the Eagles and the Cowboys, both teams coming out of the NFC East. Both of these games, tonight's game is big for Dallas. They need to win for seeding over the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles need to win, but they're in a situation where do we start Jalen Hurts or do we start Gardner Minshew? I would say start Gardner Minshew so you can give that shoulder of Jalen Hurts a rest and don't let him risk injury because the Saints are coming to do damage on Sunday. They're coming at the quarterback Sunday. So I wouldn't risk it. I would put Gardner Minshew in. So if you want to call into the show and debate tonight's game and Sunday's game, tonight's game, Cowboys versus Titans, I got the Cowboys winning that. Eagles against the Saints on Sunday, I got my beloved Saints winning that because if the Eagles are smart, they're going to start Gardner Minshew, and we're going to disrupt him. We're going to put pressure on him all day. And we're going to get some turnovers on him. He already turned the ball over 3 or 4 times on Christmas Day. So the Saints defense definitely can rattle him up. If you want to talk about that, call in 215-602-9687. I'm going to go off into a radio mix real quick for about 4 minutes, and we'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes and finish up the show talking about NFL Pro Developmental Football Street Free Agency, and how I can help you position your career to keep attaining film to move up as close to the NFL as possible, meaning start you out in Pro Developmental Football, Indoor Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Fan Control Football, and with a stop off at Hub Camp where you can learn how to do a facility workout if you get invited to a facility. You learn how to do a pro-style NFL workout at an NFL-sanctioned event. And all that to propel you, to the XFL or the USFL. And so we'll get off into that topic when we come back from break, unless somebody calls in. But we're going to go off into a music mix real quick, and we'll be right back. Stand by. Back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, again, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. If you'd like to call into the show, call in to 515-602-9687. If you got any questions about our topic, which today was NFL Week 17, Thursday Night Football predictions, you can definitely call in and talk about that, or to call in and talk about whatever sport you love. If we don't know about your sport, you can teach us. If you don't know about our sport, we can teach you. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we also cover NBA, NCAA, men's and women's sports, NHL, and Major League Baseball. So I haven't been able to get any scores up on the monitor today, but if I get some in before I get off the air, I'll definitely let you know what the scores were from yesterday's contest around the leagues. And so I want to take a little bit of time here in the last 20 minutes, you know, last 15, 20 minutes of the show and talk about what I do at my company, which is Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service, located in San Diego, California. What I do is I take small school, marginalized, overlooked athletes and give them an opportunity to play professional football at the most immediate level. Currently, I'm doing what I call my Manifest Destiny program, and I'm going to every school around the United States looking for you small school, underserved, marginalized athletes to try to help get you in a position to continue to getting film so you keep attaining film to send out to get you to the XFL, the USFL, CFL on your way up to the NFL. Is that a guarantee? No, it's not a guarantee for anybody. It's not a guarantee to be in the NFL, even for guys that are going to be on the NFL draft board. Even for guys that might go to camp and get cut. It's not a guarantee to play in the NFL. You got to be great. But my job is to bring more exposure to the small school diamonds and the roughs, bring more exposure to you kids so you guys can have a professional football opportunity. And the way I do this is by taking your college film, teach you how to put together your resume, which would include a two-paragraph resume, a biography, however you want to say it. I'll have you do a little bit of biography on yourself and a bio on yourself, and it's about two paragraphs, kind of like explaining coming from high school, why didn't you go D1 when you end up at a D2, D3, or NAIA school. Talk about your experience there, and if any NFL scouts came to look at you at that level, which in most cases they don't because it's such a small program, then moving from that point, your current situation now as a NFL 2023 camp hopeful, meaning you're not going to be on the draft board because Pro Football Focus is not writing about you, so you won't be on the draft board. And from that point, you'll talk about, you know, where you are right now trying to get in the NFL or get an NFL look as a current NFL camp hopeful 2023. if you were in last year's draft class, if you played last season in 2022 and you're still sitting on the couch waiting on an opportunity, you're considered a street free agent, a 2023 street free agent. And, you know, you'll do the same thing. Send me the same information that I was just saying about your story from high school to college, college to where you are now, or if you were able to play pro at some level already, you'll add that to your resume. Basically, I help you put your resume together, do your bio, have you attach two photos, one game action pick and one team photo, which is your headshot and your jersey and your suit or your polo, whatever it is, so they can kind of like see you with your helmet off, and then one game action pick if you're making a play on the football field, whatever position you play. If you're a quarterback, while you're throwing the ball, if you're a wide receiver, a pitcher, you're catching the ball. If you're a linebacker, a pitcher, you're tackling somebody. That's what I mean by game action photo. Moving from that, your highlights. I will have you put your highlights on the YouTube link in most cases. I don't take .move or Google files because that stuff is too hard to see and too hard for these coaches to open up. It's very frustrating. It's frustrating for me to open this stuff up. So I tell everybody, convert your stuff over to a YouTube link. Even if you have it on a Huddle link, convert it over to a YouTube link, because once they delete you out, the school deletes you out of their Huddle system, your film does not exist anymore. So I make sure that even if you want to send me a Huddle today, I'll still require you at some point to go ahead and convert your stuff over ASAP to a YouTube link, because you can keep that one forever, as far as I know. And it's easier for me to send and for people to open up and see your film. I'll have you make sure your highlights are 3 minutes, no more than 4 minutes long. And I would also recommend you get two full game films, two of your best games, full game films. Put those on the YouTube link as well. And you can put time codes on it when you made certain plays, in case you want the coach to go to a certain spot to see this certain play. Or he'll kind of like know, even if he's watching the game, he'll kind of like know when it's coming up. So that's how I have you put together your stuff, so we can send it out to teams in the Indoor Football League, which is the minor league partner of the XFL. I'm highly successful in getting guys in the Indoor Football League. Right up under that is the Champions Indoor Football League. They play the same style, but I put them right up under the Indoor Football League, only because of budget and marketing. I think the Indoor Football League has a bigger budget, and as far as the marketing is better, the exposure is better. But Champions Indoor Football League, based on what organization you're with, it'll pretty much give you the same experience for the most part. And if you start there in the Champions Indoor Football League, you'll still have time to move up to the Indoor Football League, because they're about 3 weeks to a month apart, so you can still get 3 or 4 games in the IFL, which will give you an opportunity to be looked at by the XFL, because the IFL is the, minor league partner for the XFL. On side of that, I have opportunities in the National Arena League and at the same time in the Fan Control Football League, which the Fan Control Football League is doing a big workout in Atlanta, Georgia on January the 8th. So if you like more information about that, you can go to @FanControlSports on Twitter, or you can just DM me @FerranSports on Twitter. So with that being said, I'll send your film to the NAL, National Arena League, FCF, Fan Control Football League, for an opportunity to get into the USFL, and also send your film to Hub Camp to the Vice President of Operations, Tom Goodhines. You can find him @TomGoodhines on Twitter as well, and the general manager, Mike Williams. I can send your film to those two gentlemen. I have a good networking relationship where I've gotten a lot of guys in the Hub Camp, which Hub Camp teaches you how to do a workout. In case you get invited to a facility to do a workout, they teach you how to do that workout. They teach you how to prepare yourself and what you need to do to do that workout if you get invited to do an in-facility workout with a franchise. And Hub Camp is the data scouting service for the USFL. Hub Camp, they'll record all your data, and anytime somebody goes down for a USFL team, they contact Hub and say, hey, send me a list of linebackers, or send me a list of DBs. We need a couple of DBs, a couple of linebackers. Send me your quarterbacks, and they'll take a look at guys to give them an opportunity, because Hub is – the exclusive data sharing partner for the United States Football League. And the last workout on November 13th, I was there, and they were out there. I was there, and they were out there working guys out and everything out there. You know, the USFL was there is what I'm trying to say when I was out there. The New Orleans Breakers for the USFL was there. EFL was there for the Vienna Vikings, and the Vienna Vikings are the champs, if I'm correct, of the EFL, European Football Leagues. They were out there. So then they had another USFL scout. I don't know who he was with, but he was out there. So the USFL was in attendance on November 13th because I was out there and I seen it with my own eyes while I was watching my guy work out. So that's what I help you build your resume. I'll tell you how to build your resume. You do the work. I'll tell you what to do. You get it back to me, and I'll send it out to all these different situations to get you an opportunity to play football in the spring, get that film, and keep moving you up as close as I can move you up to the United States Football League or the XFL. And you know that the United States Football League put in about 60 players into the NFL camps last year. At the same time, like I was talking to you about Fan Control Football League, where I'm trying to send a lot of your film to the front office there. I have a good relationship with them. They moved 16 players up to the XFL. 16 players got drafted into the XFL from Fan Control Football League. And if you guys are listening out, Hall of Famer T.O., he's trying to go and get an opportunity to play back with the Dallas Cowboys again. I don't know if it's for the playoffs or for camp next season, but he's trying to be the oldest player currently in the NFL. But the thing about it is Terrell Owens also has pro film from Fan Control Football League at Fan Control Sports on Twitter. If you're looking at his picture on the monitor, they're showing him in his Fan Control Football jersey because playing along with six of my guys. They had three rookies and three vets. They were all out there with Terrell Owens on the field with him or playing on the same team with him or in practice with him last year. So, you know, good league for exposure, Fan Control Sports, Fan Control Football. You can go to at Fan Control Sports on Twitter. You can also go to at HUB, at capital HUB, at Hub on Twitter and see the opportunity that they have for the USFL. So, that's how I can move your stuff around. However, it is, this is a business and it is a cost. Up until December 31st, it'll be a $600 fee for me to work with you, $300 down, $300 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. So right now I'm doing the service, my service, for half price. Full price, midnight on January 1st, I'll be going back to my full price, which is a $1,200 package, $600 down, $600 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. So I will take advantage of the discounted price right now for the next couple of days, try to get your stuff in as soon as possible, because after midnight on January 1st, I will be charging the actual price of $1,200, $600 down, $600 due in 35 days. You can pay that via Cash App. That's $FerranOne, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, the number one. Again, F is in Frank, E is in Echo, R is in Romeo, A is in Apple, N is in Nancy, D is in Dog, the number one. Again, Cash App, $FerranOne, $FerranOne. You can also request a PayPal scan code. You can also request a PayPal scan code to make your payment. I don't do Venmo. I don't do Western Union. I don't do all these other weird apps. I do Cash App and PayPal, preferably Cash App. If you don't have Cash App, I suggest you get it. If you don't have PayPal, I suggest you get that as an alternative because that's the way I would take the payment. When you call me or text me, I'll put it like this. Text me at 619-655-1581. Text 619-655-1581. And when you text me, say, I'm ready to execute. And what that means is you're ready to do business that day. Don't call me until the day that you're ready to make the payment because I only want to take the time out to be talking and dealing with people when they're ready to execute that day. So the way it really goes is The way I want you to do it is like this. Pay your fee, and when you text me at 619-655-1581 after you pay, again, pay it via Cash App or PayPal scan code. Then you text 619-655-1581 and say, I'm ready to execute, meaning you're ready to get started, and all I need to do is check Cash App to make sure you pay. So you just say, I'm ready to execute. Can you check for my payment? That's what you want to text me. Text 619-655-1581 and say, I'm ready to execute the service. I'm ready to execute the service. Can you check for my payment via PayPal or Cash App, however you pay it? So again, my number is 619-655-1581. You'll text me after you complete the payment. After you complete the payment, text me and say, I'm ready to execute the service. Can you check PayPal or Cash App for my payment? I'll check my PayPal or my Cash App, confirm that you have paid the fee, and then we can get to work. When you put down your first installment of the $300, if I don't have the month, the other installment in 35 days, that's 30 days with a 5-day grace period, you have to start back over from the beginning. So whether you put down $300 or whether you put down $600, you're going to have to start back over if I don't have my other installment in 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. And that's to encourage you to go ahead on a follow-up on your business so you can go ahead and get vested with me. And my opportunity is not just for you to get on the football field. It's not just for you to get on the football field. It's also for you to be part of in my network. So as I move up in the sports business as an executive, I can continue to have you on my client list. And as opportunities come about during your playing career and after your playing career, I can keep you in the conversation for opportunities, not just playing football, but also in different coaching, scouting, administrative positions. You'll be a part of my network. All right. With that being said, we're going to go ahead on and close the show out. This has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I want everybody to pray for peace around the world. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. With that being said, we're going to close out the show, and this is my Friday, so I'll be back on Monday. Everybody stay safe out there and have a great day. Bye-bye.